Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the post-game podcast. The Timberwolves fell to the 76ers on Tuesday in another fantastic Joel Embiid performance. And what happened to the Wolves in this one? Minnesota only mustered 94 total points in this game. We'll talk about what happened offensively, how the Wolves were unable to stop Joel Embiid, and they were unable to win the non-Embiid minutes when Joel was resting on the bench. We'll break it all down here on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. And, not so happy day after another. Timberwolves have been playing well lately, but a bad Timberwolves loss, a disappointing Timberwolves loss. We'll call it that. Certainly a winnable game and a disappointing result as Minnesota fell to Philly on Tuesday night at Target Center. We'll break down the show here today on the postgame pod. I want to talk about Embiid. I want to talk about the Wolves' offensive outage. It's all upcoming. We'll also do individual studs and duds later on. First, though, a big thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch the show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. This show, along with all of our other Minnesota podcasts at Locked On, are available on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV as part of the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. More great local sports coverage 24/7, and it's absolutely free. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also, of course, follow the show at Twitter at Locked On T Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C K E N. All right, on the postgame podcast, I like to do my kind of top overall overarching takeaway here at the start. I'll do two, three additional takeaways in the middle portion of the show, and then we'll get to individual studs and duds who played well and did not play well individually for the Wolves. Setting this one up real quickly, though. Philadelphia was on the tail end of a long road trip. This was the fifth consecutive game on the road for Philadelphia. They had just won Monday night in Indianapolis, so this was the second night of a road back-to-back, and had just been fantastic over the last couple games. They were the ones that stopped the Bucks, Milwaukee's 16-game winning streak the other night. They went to Indianapolis and won against the Pacers on Monday night. Come to Minnesota, Harden gets the night off, and Embiid's still playing, Tyrese Maxey's still playing. When the Wolves beat the Sixers back in mid-November, Towns was on the floor for the Wolves, and Tyrese Maxey did not play. Also, James Harden did not play for the Sixers. So it was basically Towns versus Embiid, but the Wolves also had, of course, Rudy Gobert and D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards, the whole thing. And the Wolves won that game by only a basket. They won by three back in November. We detailed that on the previous show Tuesday. This time around, though, Embiid is playing, you know, making a feverish case to break Nikola Jokic's MVP streak and win it this year. And I think he's got a case. Certainly, he scored 42 on Monday night against the Pacers in that win. He scores 39 against the Wolves in this game, and Minnesota cannot do anything to slow down Joel Embiid. But I do want to start with the Timberwolves offense. When you look up and the Timberwolves score under 100 points, my eight-year-old son looked at the TV in the third quarter and said, or no, it was early fourth quarter, and he said, "This is a low-scoring game." And I said, "Yeah, why do you say that?" And he said, "The Timberwolves usually have 100 points in the third quarter." Wait, yeah, I don't know about usually, but they often do, right? It absolutely was a low-scoring game in general, actually. The Sixers had a couple of nice quarters in there, but early on, it was extremely low-scoring. Philly had only 24 points in the first quarter. The Wolves actually had that 3-point lead at the end of the first, but then Philadelphia uses that big second quarter. It was actually tied 43-43, midway through the second quarter. And the Sixers closed the first half on a 15-2 run. And overall, over the course of the rest of the game, the 76ers outscored the Timberwolves 74 to 51 over the rest of the game, after being tied by 43 in the middle of the second quarter. It all started with just the Wolves bench struggling in the second quarter for the Wolves. The Sixers being more aggressive going to the basket. The Wolves started missing open jumpers. The Wolves then couldn't contain the ball on the other end of the floor, and it completely snowballed And if it wasn't for Ant's really difficult buzzer beater, that should have been an and one that led to the fun Chris Finch live mic'd up on TNT, which was a ton of fun. If it wasn't for that basket, it would have been a 15-0 run to close the half for the Sixers. Instead, it was a 15-2 run, and Philadelphia was still up by 13 points at halftime. But the biggest problem for the Wolves, though, again, getting back to the offense, they scored only 94 points in this game. Minnesota shot under 40% from the field, 39.5% to be precise, and just 30.6% on three-point attempts in this game. Philadelphia is a really good three-point shooting team. They shot 60% from the arc, beyond the arc. The Wolves shot under 31%. And also at the free throw line, Philadelphia only attempted two more free throws than the Wolves, but they made seven more. Philadelphia shot 96% at the line. The Wolves shot 71%. It's the free throw shooting is a troubling trend for Minnesota. It's a topic for another day. I don't want to dwell on it too much today because, I mean, what do you do? Typically, you either have good free throw shooters or you don't. Not having Towns hurts a lot. D'Angelo Russell didn't get to the line a ton, but he made them when he got there. Ant has been inconsistent from the line. Gobert hasn't gotten there as much lately, and he also, of course, is inconsistent from the line. So these things collectively, like, I mean, you just run down the roster, like a bunch of guys missed one free throw, right? Rudy missed two, Ant missed one, Kyle Anderson missed one, Torian Prince missed one, Nickeil Alexander-Walker missed one. And it adds up. It adds up. The biggest issue, though, is the complete lack of secondary scoring from the Wolves. Anthony Edwards had 32 points and shot 12 of 24 from the field. So the highest volume player by far for the Wolves shoots 50%, but the team is under 40%. I didn't do the math, but that tells me that the rest of the team was something like, you know, 33, 34%. I'm ballparking it, but that's about right. The rest of the team just could not make shots. Anthony Edwards was 5 of 10 outside the arc. The rest of the team combined to shoot 6 of 26 from outside the arc. That's under 25%, right? Jaden McDaniels, 1 of 4 on threes. Naz Reid, 1 of 4 on threes. Torian Prince, 1 of 5 on threes. McLaughlin, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, each one of three Alexander Walkers was a bank in at the end of the shot clock in the second quarter. Just a pretty miserable offensive performance from anyone not named Anthony Edwards. And Ant actually played really well offensively. He shot 50% from the field, 50% outside the arc. He only had four free throw attempts, but he also shot 14 twos in this game. So you can't tell me he wasn't fouled more than twice. And Chris Finch made the officials aware of that as well. Ant also added 7 rebounds, which is important. He only had one assist to 2 turnovers. But if you go back and rewatch this game, how many bunnies did the Wolves miss? How many wide open jumpers did they miss? And it cost Ant an assist. I mean, obviously that's not, you know, it's more important. They cost the Wolves points, but like, Ant's one assist doesn't look good, but the playmaking was actually not too bad for Anthony Edwards in this game. The Sixers were absolutely loading up on him at every opportunity they got, which is not unique to Philadelphia. Every team's been doing that, right? But I thought Ant mostly made the right reads. I don't know that he forced that much. Like, nobody else was scoring. What did you want him to do? He can't pass the ball and then make the shot for his teammate. Like, I'm thinking that second quarter run when the Sixers went on that run to really gain that double-digit lead they never gave back. Conley missed an open three. Austin Rivers, for some reason, got some run in this game. He missed an open three. I think that was third quarter. He only missed the one open three that he took, but I remember it because it was during this kind of snowball where, like, all of a sudden the Wolves couldn't make a jumper. Naz was trigger happy as always and struggled to shoot the ball, although he was one of three Wolves to score in double figures. Torian Prince missed a bunch of open threes. It just, if you can't make open threes against a team that's such a good three-point shooter and gets the line a ton and is a good defensive team in the Sixers, you're in big trouble. And I think Ant did his part to try and generate those open looks by sucking the defense in, carrying three guys to the basket with him often on drives, and again, making the right read. There's another play. I talked about this with Marnie Gellner on the postcast following the game. There was one play where Ant drove baseline. I think this was also second quarter. No, this was second half. It was like third quarter. Ant drives left baseline, dumps it off, nice bounce pass right to Kyle Anderson. No one within 2-3 feet of him for like a nice little 7-footer, and Anderson just misses the shot. I mean, that's an assist right there. There at least were 3 or 4 wide open 3-pointers that were missed. You make a couple of those, and Ant's got 4 assists, and everybody's happy. So I thought Ant played really, really well. This is one of the few games where I think his performance was probably underrated. Sometimes we get it the other way around, but this was a good Anthony Edwards game. And by the way, I don't know what the answer is, right? Like, who's scoring until Karl-Anthony Towns comes back? The Wolves have been fortunate of late during this mini win streak Like, Nickeil Alexander-Walker played out of his mind offensively. Mike Conley had a really big 20-plus point game that you're not necessarily expecting. Rudy Gobert has been more consistent of late. I spent the show on Monday talking about, or I guess it was Tuesday's show, in addition to previewing the game. I also talked about how much better Gobert's been on both ends of the floor since Conley joined the team. And then Gobert turns in a 6.9 rebound performance against Joel Embiid and the Sixers. So I don't know what the answer is. I think it's just make your open shots. Because the Wolves just shot the ball poorly. Ant played well, and if Ant plays well and you make your open shots, you got a really good chance to win. The Wolves did not have a chance to win this game. They were down, 15-plus for the majority of the second half. All right, I want to spend the next segment talking about some of the Wolves' other issues. Embiid, just dominating the Wolves struggling to get anything else going. So I want to get to all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our new friends at Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. I am really legitimately geeked out by our new partner and sponsor of today's episode, the mobile game Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. Ever dreamed of being an NBA GM and managing your basketball franchise? Well, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. Manage every strategic aspect of your game, play through the season, and lead your team to glory. You're responsible for hiring the right coaches and assistants, trading and training players, making draft picks, navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, plus all the ups and downs of a season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is completely free and playable offline. Play on the go as you want and when you want to. There's actually a Locked On League that we started, and the chatter today, the Locked On chat in the Locked On DM chat was pretty intense. I have not, full disclosure, have not set up my team yet. I'm doing it tonight, and I can't wait to take on the other Locked On NBA hosts. I think there's a lot of banter about setting up franchises that are maybe aligned with the franchises we cover for Locked On. I think the Wolves, Wolves, Pistons, Kings, Magic, is some of us not as much the Kings now, but we can kind of commiserate for we're talking about taking over a poor franchise. But anyway, I'll update how that goes, the Locked On League and who puts together the best team. Locked On Wolves listeners, though, get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. Again, that's promo code Locked On to get a 100% free boost to your franchise. To download the game, just visit probasketballgm.com. You can look it up in the app stores as well. That's probasketballgm.com. You can also scan the code if you're watching on YouTube right there on the bottom of the screen. That's probasketballgm.com. Ultimate Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. All right, let's talk about some of the other things that happened in this game. So defending Joel Embiid, like, said this off the top, it's Embiid or Jokic for MVP. This is my official pick, but coming into this game, I'm leaning Jokic, right? I've also seen Jokic play more than Embiid, full disclosure. But I think that, it's a conversation for another day. But Embiid in this game looked every bit the part of an MVP. 39 points on 13 of 22 shooting, greater than 50% from the field, 4 of 4 on three-pointers. And the Wolves' game plan was, hey, let's let Embiid shoot open threes if he's got them, right? Because he doesn't play out there a ton naturally in the flow of the offense. It's a lot of times there's a trail big, or sometimes he'll step back out of an action and be there. But teams, try to make him put the ball on the floor. He's not quite Karl Anthony Towns with the ball on the floor, like dribble drives, right? He does so much damage in the mid post and still can with his back to the basket, facing up from the mid range in the mid post is where he did a lot of his damage tonight. But a perfect 9 of 9 from the free throw line, which isn't quite the, what was he against the Wolves earlier this year? 18 of 19 or 18 of 18, something like that from the line. He added 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks in this game for Joel Embiid. And the Wolves tried to guard him one-on-one with Rudy Gobert. That didn't work. Because here's the thing. You give him just a little bit of space to try and protect against the dribble drive, and he can make, like, there were a couple of those jumpers in the first quarter where Embiid was, like, or I should say Gobert, legit had a contest hand, like, up in the face of Joel Embiid, up near where the shot release was. And it honestly didn't, I don't know how Embiid got the shot off. But he did. I mean, more often than not, and Gobert couldn't guard him one-on-one. Naz Reid obviously couldn't guard him one-on-one. And he, when the Wolves actually had a shot kind of late third quarter, they made a mini run. I think they were within 14 or 15. And Embiid scored like 3 straight times against Naz Reid one-on-one. And the Wolves weren't really bringing doubles. Then they tried to bring a couple of doubles on the perimeter. He hit some tough jumpers over double teams. I mean, the Embiid jumper is just so much better than what it was just a couple of years ago. By the way, his 39 points came in only 28 minutes in this game. 39 points on 22 shots in 28 minutes for Joel Embiid. He did not have to play in the fourth quarter. It took him out with about a minute and a half left in the third. And you look up and you say, okay, the Wolves could make a mini run here. They're down 15-16. You make a little bit of a run. You make it, you know, 12 points or something to start the fourth quarter. They could not do that. In fact, for the game, the Timberwolves lost the Joel Embiid on the bench minutes by 5 points. You cannot get outscored when Joel Embiid's off the floor. And in those 20 minutes, the Wolves were a minus five. And that tells you all you need to know about this game, right? Like, Embiid dominated, and that's the reason the Sixers won this game. But the Wolves played so poorly, they couldn't win this game with obviously no James Harden. They couldn't win it with Embiid on the bench. There's several ways we could spin this, but like, it was not a good game in general for the Wolves. Back in terms of defending Embiid, Kyle Anderson took a shot at it. Again, the Wolves doubled a few times. Like, it just there wasn't a good way to do it. There never is, because Joel Embiid is incredible. And I wasn't really bothered by the Timberwolves defense in this game. I know Philly shot 60% from three, got to the line 23 times. To me, the biggest issue is probably containing the ball with Tyrese Maxey, but like, he's so quick when he gets downhill. He's also a really good player. 27 points on 16 shots for Maxey. You know, Embiid's going to do Embiid things. Only three other Sixers players scored in double figures, and one had 10. That was Tobias Harris. He, by the way, had 14 rebounds. D'Anthony Melton had 11 points, and Maxey had 27. So it was Embiid and Maxey that killed the Wolves. And, you know, you'd like to contain the ball a little better when Maxey has it in his hands, but it's just so hard when you're so focused on Embiid, and that's what Tyrese Maxey banks on. The Wolves were unable to contain him. I guess the last thing I want to touch on is rebounding. And Marnie and I talked about this on the postcast, a little more extensively, but the Wolves were a minus 20 in the rebounding category in this game. I mentioned Tobias Harris had 14 boards. The Sixers had, six players with five or more rebounds in this game. The Wolves had only three with five or more rebounds. Gobert had 9, Anthony Edwards had 7, Kyle Anderson had 5. Everybody else that played for the Wolves had 3 or less rebounds. The Wolves were a minus 20 on the glass. It's been a while since we've really been concerned about that number, right? The Wolves have been better on the glass here of late, but a minus 20. And weirdly, the Wolves actually won the points in the paint by 6 in this game, 42-36. The bigger issue was Embiid did what he did from mid-range. The Sixers shot free throws much better than the Wolves, and the Sixers shot threes much better. The Wolves attempted 11 more threes than the Sixers in this game, and they made 4 fewer. The Wolves shot 31% for three. The Sixers shot 60%. The Wolves shot 71% for the free throw line. The Sixers shot 96% from the free throw line. Made free throws and made threes were the biggest difference in this game. The battle on the boards was, you know, unsightly, but it's hard to like directly point to that when the Wolves did win the points of the paint battle. Second chance points in this game weren't insane. It's just like another one of those you look at and go, man, the Wolves got beat on the glass again. And the Sixers aren't a good rebounding team, right? This wasn't one of the league's best rebounding teams. They're only a little bit better than the Wolves on the glass in general, but definitely a disappointing outcome in that regard as well. So rebounding, points of the paint were competitive, but made threes, made free throws, big issues in this game as well. All right. I want to close today's show by talking about individual studs and duds, and we'll put a bow on this. We'll take a peek ahead at what's next for the Wolves, what's next on the show this week. So we're going to do all that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends at FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a new sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. You can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and three-pointers drained. Wolves Nets Friday night. The Wolves don't play again here the next couple of days, but go check out that line. Check out any of the prop bets they've got over at FanDuel. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, individual studs and duds for Wolves Sixers. Studs has to be, I mean, Anthony Edwards, obviously, right? He was head and shoulders the best player on the floor for the Wolves. In fact, I don't remember a game recently where it's been this big of a chasm between the Timberwolves' best player in an individual game and their next best player. Like, I don't even really know who else would deserve a stud in this game. Ant, again, I'll remind you of the line, 32 points on 12 of 24 shooting, 5 of 10 on three-pointers, 3 of 4 at the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers in this game. And again, should have gotten to the line more often. I thought he was being aggressive going to the basket. I didn't have a problem with the shot selection from Ant. The 7 rebounds were phenomenal. You know, TNT had a graphic during the game of, you know, one of those kind of arbitrary things. It was like players 21 and younger to average 23 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists per game. And Ant has the assists and he's got the points, but he's 5.8 rebounds per game coming into the game. So he's got to average, you know, he's got to get up to that 6-point threshold. The company, by the way, is Luka Doncic, who's done it a couple times, LeBron James, who did it a couple times as a 21-year-old or younger, Michael Jordan, and who's the other one? There were 4. Jordan, Luka, LeBron, Tracy McGrady was the other one. Pretty good company, right? So anyway, 7 rebounds will help, you know, that cause if he wants to reach that arbitrary stat that TNT threw up. But still, great company. Ant played extremely well. I don't know how else to slice it. I don't have an issue with how he played. I mean, he was part of the Wolves' perimeter defensive issues, but that's not why the Timberwolves lost this game. He also took care of the ball. He had it in his hands a ton in this game. The Sixers were blitzing him. They were trying to trap him. He only committed 2 turnovers, which turnovers have been a major issue for Ant lately, and he was great taking care of the basketball in this game. And I did the thing earlier where I talked all about how the 1 assist is misleading. I thought he passed the ball well too. So I'll just reiterate that here too. Nobody else to me played very well for the Wolves. I don't really feel good about it giving anybody else a stud in this game. Like I don't think I can. The only other Wolves players to score in double figures were Torian Prince, who had 13, but he was 1 of 5 outside the arc and did a little bit of scoring towards garbage time at the end of the game. He stuffed the stat sheet a little bit, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. But the missed threes were killers. I mean, at that stage in the game when the Wolves were still in it, I thought in general, like, you could probably say he was the Wolves' next best player. So I guess if we have to pick a second one, I'd pick Prince. Again, stuffing the stat sheet with 13, 3, 2, 2, and 1. But you got to shoot the ball better on open 3-point attempts. The only other player, I'm not giving him a stud, but the only other player to score in double figures was Naz Reid, had 11 in this game. Nobody else on the Timberwolves scored more than 7 points. And get this, no Timberwolves starter attempted more than 7 field goals, except for Anthony Edwards with his 24. Anderson attempted 7. McDaniels, Gobert, Conley each attempted 6 field goals in this game. They all scored 7 points or less. Jaden McDaniels had just 3 points and 3 rebounds in 26 minutes in this game. 1 of 6 shooting, 1 of 4 on threes. He did have 3 blocks. He was a team worst, game worst, minus 16, Jaden McDaniels was. So an extremely disappointing game. In fact, let's start with him as a dud in this game. I know he had 3 blocks. I know he had some good defensive moments, but you got to knock down your open shots. And if nobody else is scoring, like, McDaniels is to the point now where that's expected of him to be able to do something, in this case, really, as your second scorer, right? I mean, should be third scorer because Rudy should be scoring too. But you would put McDaniels ahead of Kyle Anderson and Mike Conley at this point in terms of starters scoring baskets, like actually putting points on the board. You'd have to expect more out of Jaden McDaniels. So I think he gets a dud in this game. It's tough really for me to pick another one. I mean, I guess Mike Conley, 6 points, 3 assists, no rebounds, 1 of 6 shooting. Conley also missed a couple of wide open threes in this game. He at least got to the line 3 times, but I guess I'd go with Conley as my other dud, McDaniels and Conley both. It's been a while since we've had 2 starters play this poorly in a game for the Wolves. Now, after the game, Chris Finch talked about this being, you know, he said something about not overreacting, like these games happen, etc. Marty Gellner and I said as much on the post game, on the postcast Tuesday night as well. Like, grand scheme of things, the Sixers are really good. Joel Embiid is one of the best 2 or 3 players in the entire league. The Timberwolves are still shorthanded, and yeah, so were the Sixers, and yes, the Wolves had the rest advantage. But games like this happen. Anthony Edwards still played really well. The Timberwolves were in this game through the first quarter and a half. They were tied midway through the second quarter, and then the wheels came off. I mean, that happens from time to time. Now the Wolves get the Brooklyn Nets Friday. It's a Nets team that's 1-3 straight. The Nets also will have a rest disadvantage coming to Minneapolis. They play in Milwaukee Thursday night, and so that 3-game winning streak they're on currently will be put to the test against the Bucks here in a couple of nights. So, you know, it's a winnable game against a good team that obviously looks very different than the last time we saw the Nets or different than they did, you know, just 6 weeks ago. But an important game, because then the Wolves go on the road next week at Atlanta. The schedule toughens a little bit here moving forward too after that. But Wolves-Nets Friday night looks more important now after the stinker on Tuesday. It really does. So again, the Wolves are in this weird stretch where they play, have two nights off, play, have two nights off, play, have two nights off. So they're letting the rest of the league catch up to how many games Minnesota has played to this point. And so the Wolves are off again Wednesday night, Thursday night, play 7 p.m. Central, Friday night against Brooklyn again. Brooklyn's on the second night of a back-to-back. So we'll have shows Thursday, Friday. We'll, of course, preview that Brooklyn matchup on Friday, a very different-looking Brooklyn team than what a lot of Wolves fans have seen here recently. So we'll do all that here the rest of this week. We'll, of course, do the live postcast with Marnie Gellner after Friday night's game as well. So make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Sports Minnesota to watch that live following Wolves Nets. Also, a big thank you to those that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, you can find this podcast anywhere. It's free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. If you miss Locked On Sports, or excuse me, the postcast live on Locked On Sports Minnesota after the game, I post the audio here. Actually, the last episode, if you're listening to this right now on your favorite audio platform, the last episode was the postcast that I did with Marnie. So you can find that audio after every Wolves game as well on Locked On Wolves. You can also watch this show on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now make your second listen the game-to-game NBA podcast every moment, every top performance, and every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.